a most familiar passage, Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. The birth of Jesus Christ is surrounded by the miraculous, angelic appearances and announcements, a virgin conception, the first and the last, the only one ever, the exact moment in prophecy to fulfill hundreds of types and symbols and parallels in the Old Testament. Split second timing, the timing of God's choice. The presence of God's hand in might and in power. And yet, when God became flesh, he was not born in a palace, in a cradle of gold, but in a cave and laid in a feeding trough where animals had eaten. Why was the Almighty King of Glory laid in a manger? The answer to that question is the essence of Christmas. It's why God became flesh to dwell among us. The first thing that's easily noted is Jesus was laid in a manger because of alienation. It's not that his mother and dad did not seek shelter in the hotel of the day. It is that the hotel was filled to maximum, and when the question was asked, is there a place, is there room for the Son of God, the baby Jesus, the answer came clearly and loudly, no vacancy, no room in the inn. John says it this way, he came unto his own, but his own did not receive him. Imagine alienation. He, the Creator, came to the creation and found no place to be born. The announcement of the day, there is no place for this baby. There is no room in the end. And is by accident the announcement then was declared, why not take him to a cave? Why not lay him in a trough? If you must have privacy, if you're going to have the baby, why not outside, not in the end? And the question remains, and 2,000 years have passed, if he comes to your home, if he comes to your heart, have you made room for him? This Christmas, have you spent all of your time, all of your energy, all of your effort, all of your finances for others? Or have you made room for Christ, the Son of the living God? Have you made the best of room? For he deserves that. In fact, theologically speaking, Christ lives within you if you truly are a Christian. But have you gone about your business neglecting the very one who came so that you might have life. The essence of the Christmas story is that he didn't come to decorate a tree. He came to hang on a cross. He didn't come so that you and I could receive gifts. He was the gift. He didn't come on Christmas Day so that we could have a holiday and a week away from school. He came so we could have eternal life and an eternity away from hell. Have you made room for him? No, I mean Christian. I mean preacher. I mean deacon. I mean teacher. I mean singer. Have you made room for him? Or in the hustle and bustle and busyness of the season, have you said, lay him in a trough, take him out back? There's really no room for him in the inn. Not only alienation, but I see the sense of association, and here's what I mean by that. Jesus came to be born in a cave and laid in a feeding trough because he was identifying himself with those that he came to save. Yes, a rich man can go to heaven, but not because he's rich. And a poor man can go to heaven, but not because he's poor. Jesus identified himself with those who would come to him and trust him for eternal life. He came to the poverty stricken. The Bible says, though he was rich, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Can you imagine the King of Glory leaving the ivory throne and the royal palaces that existed in eternity past and coming to a place where there was no room for him and edging out a place in a cave, in a manger, where he could lie his head on that first night after his birth? It's a most amazing story. It is something that is undeniable but almost unbelievable. That God, who became flesh to dwell among us, had to do so in like fashion. He came in poverty. He came with the same problems that you have and you have and you have. Have you ever felt crowded out? He did. Have you ever felt misunderstood? He did. Have you felt rejected? He did. Have you ever felt like there was no place, no room, nobody really cared? He did. And he came and identified with every one of us who have felt just what he felt when he came to this earth to die. He came in poverty to men and women with problems. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was laid in a manger. I jokingly say when we come out of the rooms of little babies just been born into the church, that they were wrapped up like burritos. That's our system these days. A sterile blanket in a sterile hospital room. And sometimes we even wear masks to keep from the spreading of germs. And a little baby is wrapped tight. You know what swaddling clothes were? They were bandages. They were garments that had been cast away because they were worn out and could not be worn any longer, torn into strips. A little baby's skin was wrapped around to keep out the cold, to protect the brand new flesh. Anything but pure, anything but sterile, anything but new. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, bandages. Oh, let me tell you, he identifies with me this morning because I'm bound by sorts of sins that I must escape. I'm bound by hurt and heartache and bitterness and anger and resentment that I must be deal with. I'm bound by the shackles of this world that hold me in their place. And he came to be bound up so that he could be loosed, so that you and I could be let go of the shackles of sin and the bondage and the bindings of that which the devil has presented. He came to identify himself with all of us who were just like him, bound and bandaged because we were hurt and harmed by sin. He who knew no sin came to associate with those of us who do know sin, that we might someday say, I have no sin, for it is covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. I think of the word accessibility. Had he been born in Herod's palace, he would have been heavily guarded, highly protected. Gates and walls would have kept you and you and you and me from coming in. Only the prince could have seen him. Only the queen could have seen him. Only the king could have seen him. And yet he was born in a stable, in a cave that had no door and that invited any and all to come. Shepherds came that they might worship him. Later, wise men came that they might give him gifts and fall down before him and worship him. Who came? Anyone who wanted to come came to see the baby. Whosoever will may come that they might have everlasting life. I'll tell you exactly what happened. He came to be born in a manger so that some old, dirty, rotten, vile, filthy shepherds could come and find him. That's good. Well, let me tell you what's better. He came in the way that he came so that some old, dirty, vile, rotten sinners like you and me could find him. He made himself accessible. He opened wide the door and said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Imagine Herod's palace with guards and walls and only a select few that could come. But imagine now an invitation that is universal, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He came because he was alienated. He came to associate with sinners like you and like me. He came to make himself accessible. But he came because God had an announcement to make, and he chose to use shepherds and angels and wise men and saints to let it be known. Here's the miracle of Christmas. Bethlehem is the house of bread. And into the house of bread came the bread of life. And Mary bore the Christ child and laid the bread of life in a manger in the house of bread, Bethlehem. And God said, come and dine. The master calls, come and dine. Now listen to me. We feed upon him and we are saved. We feast upon him and we are satisfied. You won't get everything you want for Christmas to your satisfaction. It'll never be perfect in the here and in the now. If your tree's 12 foot tall, somebody else's is taller. No matter what you do to impress this world at Christmas, it'll fade into insignificance. But if you will research in your spirit the real reason for Christmas, you will discover the following. It doesn't have to do with a Christmas tree. It has to do with an old rugged tree. It doesn't have to do with dozens upon dozens of gifts. It's about the one gift, the grace of God. It doesn't have to do with one day out of the year, and even then, we don't know what one day that really is. It has to do with every day in every way for all of your life in time and eternity. And most importantly, it's not for a select few in Bethlehem. It's for any man, woman, boy or girl, anywhere in God's kingdom to come and say, may the Christ of Bethlehem be born in me. And that's the essence of Christmas. He was laid in a manger because the world had no room for him, and it still doesn't. He was laid in a manger so that he would associate himself with the very people who needed him most. He was laid in a manger so that he was easy to find and impossible to forget. He was laid in a manger because God said, I want to make a difference in a world spinning out of control, lost in darkness, without hope. He was laid in a manger so you could stand on streets of gold and breathe the purest of air and look back and say, when God came to earth, he did so not for a holiday, but for a holy day. And so Christmas is not so much about the trappings that we find in our world. It's about the triumphant cross, the resurrection, and the fact that our King, who once was laid in a manger, now sits on a throne forever and forever. Would you stand with me, please? Most of the time on a Sunday morning, the great majority of the people that gather have made in the past a profession of faith. If you were to ask the question, are you a Christian? The answer would be yes. I'll check that. I'm a Christian. But this morning, I want you to lay aside what you say with your mouth. I want you to lay aside where you are at the moment. And I want to ask you a sincere question. In your life, have you made room for Jesus? Not the back closet crammed in with the door slammed. Have you made room for Jesus? Is he Lord of your life? Are you walking in obedience? Do you just celebrate his power and presence on days like this? Or do you celebrate who he is and what he's done all the days of your life? Somebody this morning needs to trust him as your personal Savior. Somebody needs this morning to become a part of this New Testament church and to do whatever that takes to get rid of sin in your life, to stop this or that, to deal with bitterness or anger. You need to become a part of his church so you can serve him on a daily basis. And for some, do you know what this message means? It means revival. It means renewal. Might mean reconciliation, getting right with a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, brother or sister. Forever, how many hundred folks are in this room this morning? Christmas could mean something slightly different to you, but the bottom line, the foundation, the end result is that this Christ who came to this earth and was laid in a manger deserves the best you have and the best that I have. And to be quite honest with you, nothing less will ever do. He deserves our best. There'll be pastors here to help you in any way that we possibly can.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all.